We're going to pray here in a second, but let me just mention this. We are on a series. This is part five of how to be led by the Spirit of God. God is endeavoring to lead us. Praise God. God is endeavoring to guide us. The same way that you want to set your own children up and do things and for them and to go before them in life and give them the best possible opportunity to succeed, to be healthy, to be protected, to be provided for, to be safe, all those things. God's endeavoring to do that for His children. But what we're learning in this series is it does not happen automatically. God will let you live in poverty. God will let you live in sickness. God will let you live in confusion. God will let you live in frustration. God will let you live in turmoil. God will let you live in crisis after crisis. But He's endeavoring and encouraging and admonishing you to get off of those type of things and onto His path. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. Father, help us this morning. Help that what I say, Father, will burn bright in people's heart and brand them in their spirit. And they would walk away from this place in a new way and in a new day, in change for their life. Father, there's a path and there's a plan that You have. But Lord, we have to find out what that path is. We need to be sensitive enough to know that and then obey it. But Father, it's filled with so many good things. So Father, help me to say what needs to be said this morning. I thank You I'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts. What I say, Father, will be so pertinent to their situation, their circumstance, the season of life that they're in right now. And Father, it'll be so supernatural that they'll think to themselves, how did he know that I needed to hear that? And the truth is, Father, I didn't know, but You did. So Father, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. May I speak as the oracles of God. Father, I just want to be Your vessel here this morning. And I give You the praise and give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it's kind of our golden text, our main portion of Scripture for this series. I'm going to do a fast review. I do encourage you, if you've not been here, not heard this, this is a series that will change your future. Amen. It will absolutely change your future. And I could stand people up and line them up here that have learned to hear from the Holy Ghost and tell you testimonies of things that changed their life. Amen. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, so what I'm saying is the review is going to be fast so we can get to what we need to say. We don't want to keep you here all day. And you can get online, but we'll kind of just go over an overview of what we talked about. But it says, trust in the Lord with your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's your own thinking, your own thoughts, your own ways. In all of your ways, instead of all your ways leaning on your own self and thinking about how to do it, he says, actually, in all your ways, acknowledge me. What's he inviting you to do? Bring everything you have before him. Every issue, every problem, every stuck place that you're in, every hard place that you're in, every confusing place that you're in where you don't have an answer, he invites you in every way, bring it to me. And he said, I will direct your paths. Now, Janae, would you pull up Ephesians 2 and verse 10 in the Amplified? You hear that say, God's going to direct your paths. Do we want even God to direct our paths? Do we want God to lead us? The answer is yes. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. Now, remember in Jeremiah 29:11, He said, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. God says, I have a plan, but man always says, they have a plan. But God says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you on His plan. Plans to give you hope, an expected outcome, not to harm you, and not of evil. His path and His plan, this verse tells us that. Go ahead and, now remember in the verse before, the part before that verse, it says He wants us to take paths that He prepared. Pre-prepared paths that God has prepared. Amen? Amen. Let me ask you a question. If I go over there today and I say, okay, we got two meals, whatever your favorite meal is. One was prepared by Pastor Mike Anderson. And one was prepared by Emeril Lagasse. You have a choice. One choice. One choice. You can't have both. You can't sample both. My God, if you pick me, you are nuts. Wouldn't you pick the professional chef? Absolutely you would. My feelings wouldn't be hurt. I'd feel like I'd have to pray for a new brain for you if you went the other way. Well, God is saying, I'm God, and I have everything in my path. Why in the world are people choosing their own way? Why in the world? Why in the world would you pick man's plans over the ultimate spiritual chef, God? Amen? And he said that the paths we should walk in them, he says, you should do this. See your benefit to do this, which will cause what? Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready. But where is it? On his path. Listen, if you eat my whatever you decided to eat, it's not, you're going to miss out on some things. Flavor, excellence, knowing how to, I mean, it's just going to be different. That's the way it is for people. They miss out on the good life that God has for them. Well, what else did he say in Psalms 23? He says, I want to lead you or guide you by the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd, right? He's leading and guiding us. By the green pastures. Isaiah 48 and 17 says, he will teach you or guide you into prosperity. Jeremiah 29 tells us he's going to lead us into prosperity and good things. God only has good things for his children. But a lot of times we're off doing our own thing, walking in our own path, walking in our own plan. Well, Romans 8:14 tells us how God does that. Because you got to play by his rules, folks, right? You know, last night the Final Four was on and some good basketball games, and I didn't see them kicking the ball around like a soccer ball. If you bring a soccer rules into a basketball court, you're going to struggle and have trouble with that. You're not going to be successful. Well, we want God to lead us. We've already established in this series, you want God to lead you. Let me just stress this, because I'm always trying to pull people out of the muck and the mire that they're in and set them on high, so that's why I get fired up. That's why I get fired up, because the devil's always talking to you. So someone's voice has to be louder than the devil's, and I don't mind it being mine. If I spit a little bit and get a little red and my veins pop out a little bit, so be it. That's just the way it is. Those of you that are here, that are stuck, spinning your wheels, the same sickness over and over and over again, not having enough in finances over and over and over again. Now, I'm not talking about a season of tests and trials. I'm talking about a lifestyle of tests and trials. Constant strife, constant crisis, constant frustration and turmoil. That is not the good life. That is not the blessing that God has for you. And on his path would not be those things. It's time to stop going our direction and start going his direction. That's what we're trying to help you with. But we got to follow his rules. He says, for as many as are led, well, what's led? To be guided, to be directed, to be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're off doing things your own way, or if you're in a neutral place and you're saying, I want to go God's way, the way he's going to lead you into the green pastures, the still waters, the prosperity, the not to harm you, plans of good life, prearranged, made ready to live, the abundant life, the heaven on earth life, you're going to have to learn how to follow the Spirit of God. He's not talking to you in your mind. Now, you'll get revelation in your spirit and it'll lighten your mind, but he doesn't talk to the mind. He doesn't talk to the flesh. He's not leading you through your emotions. He's not leading you through your feelings. He's not leading you through your thoughts. In fact, the Bible warns about you going on your own thoughts. It says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof, the end of it, is death. He said, my thoughts, my ways, they're not your ways. Amen. What do we have to do? Set aside our ways. Set aside our thoughts. But if we're going to say, yes, sign me up for the abundant life, for the prosperity, for the God's path, you got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's what we've been teaching you. And we showed you that how God does it, because you need to know that the Spirit of God, the Bible says, is in the belly region of a man, the center of a man or woman. I'm just saying man, I say mankind. Not just talking about the men here. I mean mankind when I say that. The belly region, the Bible says, Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. This is where the spirit of man is, located in here. But the Bible says when you got saved, your spirit man, you ever heard the term born again? Well, you weren't born again in the sense of natural flesh. You didn't come back out of your mom again and find yourself crying and naked in the hospital room. You didn't. What was born again? Your mind wasn't born again. Your spirit was born again. Renewed, made brand new, alive unto God. Well, that happens, but also what happens when you got saved is not only your inward man was reborn, the Spirit of God, the Bible says in John 14 and John 16, get this on the archives, comes into the inside of you and dwells on the inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have God on the inside of you. So why are we looking to people? Why are we looking to our flesh and our mind? We're looking in the wrong place. Our answers are found in here. And so many people are ignorant of that fact, and they're looking elsewhere, and they just don't know. They have no idea how to follow God, how God leads, and how to do it. That's what we're trying to teach you. And the Bible says that when the Spirit of God came in to dwell on the inside, and you can get all these scriptures online, doing this for a fast review, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, hears from the Father. So you're seeking God. I don't know how to get out of this situation. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to change this. Well, the Holy Ghost, how many of you know God knows? Remember where God sits? He sits in a perched position. He's already been to your future and back. He already knows what adjustments that need to be made, what tweaks need to be made, what slight turns, what major turns. He already knows. But you need to get enlightened of what He knows. Well, how are you going to get enlightened of what He knows? The Bible says the Holy Ghost is going to hear what you need, and then the Holy Ghost is going to show us those things to come, to speak to us. So our spirit communes or conversates with the Holy Ghost, who the Holy Ghost heard from heaven what to do, and then the answer is then deposited into our spirits. Amen. Your answer's not out here. Right. It's not in here and it's not up here. It's in here. But if you have not learned that that's how it works, and if you have not learned how to follow the Holy Ghost, if you've not learned how to hear from the Spirit of God, you'll go on just living your own life, doing your own thing. The Bible called Abraham a righteous man. The Bible called Lot a righteous man. Well, we look at Abraham's life. He did and went wherever God, whatever God said and told him to do and where to go. And guess what Abraham's life was? Majorly blessed. It was. And then Lot, same righteous man. God looked at him, called him a righteous man too, called righteous Lot. Lot had a big decision to make in life. And Lot never conversed with God about it. Lot went with his own thoughts. Lot went with his own feelings, you know, like the majority of Christians do. How do you know, Pastor Mike? Because I got to clean up the mess afterwards. Because when you go your own way and go your own thoughts, there's always a mess afterwards. There's always a mess afterwards. How do I know? I've shipwrecked my life a few times doing things my own way, having to pick up the pieces, having my pastor have to clean it up, help me get through it. And God will help you. God will take right where you are today. That's why I said last week, where you are right now, doesn't matter if you've messed up your whole life to this point, the rest of your life's going to be better. Amen. The rest of your life's going to be blessed. And that's how it works with God. God's mercies are new every morning. So we don't beat ourselves up for the past. Amen. We don't beat ourselves up. Someone had texted me this week, said they've been staying out of church because of their past sins. I said, who gives a flip about your past and your sins? God don't give a flip about it. God cares about right now and going forward the right way. Amen. It's just the truth. And so you're here today, say, don't beat yourself up. Go forward the right way. But if you never learn, and Lot made his own choices, Lot never sought God, never found out what God thought. Lot went with his mind and what his emotions said, and his life shipwrecked. And guess what? God let him do it. My God's a gentleman. He'll let you do whatever. He'll let you do whatever you want. He'll let you live and experience whatever you want, but he gives you the opportunity to live in a higher level, on a better level. He does. And Lot went and did his own thing, and chaos ensued. And so we have to learn how to follow the Holy Ghost. And so last week, we started to figure out how we're going to position ourselves. Because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will talk to us through peace. When it comes to decisions and answers and what should we do, what shouldn't we do, peace is your answer. The Bible says in Colossians 3 that peace is like an umpire. Well, what's an umpire do? Well, before instant replay, umpires and referees, whatever they said went. If the umpire called it a strike, didn't matter if it didn't look like a strike, it was a strike. If the umpire said you were safe, even though the whole stadium saw it look like they were out, if the umpire said it, that's what stands. Well, the Holy Ghost speaks to us through peace, and the Bible says he's to be like an umpire. Well, what's that mean? Well, when you learn what peace says do it, you do it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. If peace says don't do it, doesn't matter how much your flesh wants it, How much your Bible? You don't do it. Why? God's trying to spare you from something. You see, Lot, if he'd have checked in with his heart and checked in with God, would have had a big fat do not go to Sodom and Gomorrah. But it looked good, and his mind was saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And his flesh was saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But God would have been saying the whole time, no, no, no. God's just trying to spare us. See, God can see up ahead what we can't see. All Lot could see was what his flesh could see. But see, that's what happens in relationships. That's what happens when people take jobs and move and do things. All they see is what they see. But they don't see down the road. They don't see that that pretty package wrapped in a bow and nice wrapping paper has a stick of dynamite with a what's that thing on top of the dynamite? The wick. It's burning. They don't see it. It's burning and getting... And all they say, wow, look at this present. This is great. It looks good. It feels so good. Oh, open it up. That's what happens. We're trying to spare you from that. And so we said we got to position ourselves to hear from God. And listen, I understand it. How do we know if it's our flesh? How do we know if it's our mind? How do we know if it's the Spirit of God? You ever been there? You're like, how do I know? How do I know? I don't know if it's me. I don't know if this is God. I don't know if it's my flesh. So we said, for you to be able to hear from the Spirit of God, you have to position yourselves correctly to hear from God. And remember what we talked about last week? Go to Mark chapter. First of all, we talked in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We'll pull this scripture up. You can't treat God like a drive-through. You have big decisions in your life. You have things that, you know, so many people make huge decisions in your life just spur of the moment. Now, there are times when you don't have time to pray and you don't have time to seek God. But in those times, if you'll learn to become sensitive to God, when you need an answer right away, the clarity will be there. But let's face it, a lot of times we could have taken a little time to pray on that purchase. We could have taken a little time and asked God, Lord, I know the job pays me more money, but do you want me to go to that job? Lord, I know that person, they look real good and they're real pretty and real handsome and they treat me kindly, but Lord, what's your thoughts on it? A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people, bam, their flesh says it. Or let me tell you another one how it works, through pressure. Oh, people make decisions based on pressure. People make decisions based on feeling bad. All the time, never ask God. Never ask God. Yeah. Listen, you can do things on the surface that seem honorable, that seem like the right thing to do. Let me give you an example. Monday night, I don't pastor church. Thursday night, I don't pastor church. Friday night, I don't pastor church. 3 nights out of the week, I have open that I can go start another church. And let me tell you something. I'm not bragging, but I know how to start churches. I'll start a church. I don't care if it's a parking lot of an old store that's closed down. But I'll start a church anyway. It doesn't matter. The word will cause it to grow. I know how to start a church. I can go pick any city in Cattaraugus County, Chautauqua County, start a church, and people will come because the word will bring them. And people will get saved. But that seems noble. And that seems honorable. But if God is not in it, it will crumble, even on the surface. You say, oh, I do things for my family. I'm doing things for my... Yeah, but did God tell you to go that route with them? Did God tell you to make that decision? Because his plan would be best for them. But we make decisions based on pressure and emotion all the time. That's not how God's leading. He's leading by the Holy Ghost. And so we need to take time. And the Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Well, I want God to be like Burger King. Well, he's not. He's not like Burger King. And go with me real quick to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. We'll just go to one verse here today and look at this real quick. Remember the example I gave you when we put the music on back there? And I was talking in my normal voice because what does the Bible say about the Spirit of God? It says that he speaks in the still small voice in here. He's not in an earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's not in the wind. He's not in some writing on the wall. He's not in, you know, very rarely will you get visions. Very rarely will you get audible voices. Very rarely. I'm talking 99.9% of the time God, the way he's going to lead you supernaturally is through peace in your spirit. You don't want the Jesus to visit you in the night because he's doing it for a purpose. And sometimes the things that are up ahead are hell on earth. And, oh, I wish pastor would give me a special word. No, you don't. No, you don't, because sometimes those things are anchors for our soul because of hell on earth coming up. You read it in the Bible. You see it. Brother Hagin's up. I could give you examples in my life. The way he's going to lead us is through peace in our spirit. But he says, I'm the still small voice. He's not going to try to shout over your life. Nope, that'd be out of order. He didn't shout to Lot and put roadblocks in his way and send angels to stop Lot from going and ruin his life. No. God already tells us the whole time, if you want to hear from me, I'll tell you how to do it. But if you choose not to do it, that's up to you. Amen? Amen. God's not going to change his ways for you. He never changes. His ways are the same all the time. That's why we have to conform to his ways. Yeah. Well, I don't like his ways. Too bad. You want to get on his path, you got to do it his way. And we played the music, and I talked in a normal voice, and I was being like I was the Holy Ghost. And y'all could hear me with the music. It was real low in the background. But then I had them raise the music up and raise it up and raise it up. And I didn't change how loud I was talking. And I was saying things, and nobody could understand what I was saying. God's always speaking to us. Always speaking to us. But so many people, the background noise is so loud that they can't hear it. What do I mean by the background noise being loud? Thoughts run wild. Their flesh is so loud, they can't determine and discern if it's God or not. That's a problem. What I say, you got to not treat God like a drive-thru, but then you have to begin to separate yourself from the noise. That's what Jesus did. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, what was he doing? Getting where it was quiet. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. What did he do? Got out of the hustle and bustle. Got out of the noise, got out of the chaos. Why? Jesus needed to hear from heaven just as much as you need to hear from heaven. All throughout the Word, and we gave you several examples last week, the Bible says in one place he went out to the mount as his custom was by himself to pray. See, a lot of us just want to go through our busy lives, and just kind of tote God along with us and just keep him there for that crutch, you know. And then when crap hits the fan, you know, is that okay to say that? Probably not. But anyways, that's just who I am. I'm not very eloquent, and I don't, you know, I guess there's worse you could say. But anyways, when it hits the fan, you know, and life happens, people say, I just want, God, tell me what to do. Well, it might be hitting the fan because you didn't listen to him in the first place. You see, people could have said about Lot, well, God, what? Devil's after me, God. Sodom and Gomorrah, my wife died. My kids were kidnapped. I was kidnapped. We're living in a cave now. Devil's after me, God. No, Lot, you did that to yourself. Yeah. Amen. I'm not saying devil doesn't come after you, but man, oh man, we give the devil too much credit for some of the stuff in our lives. Amen. My favorite one, I'm just going to say it because there's utterance to say it and someone needs to hear it. My favorite one is when people reach out to me about their life being chaotic. Let me give you some words that their lives look like. Scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless. And they tell me that. And I'll say, your life looks dejected. You feeling harassed in life? You feeling bewilderment? Do you feel helpless at times? Distressed at times? Oh yeah, Pastor Mike. Say, I never see you in church. I never see you in church. One person asked me to pray for him. I said, I won't. I said, my prayers won't trump your disobedience to the Word of God. It's true. What am I talking about? Well, the Bible says, without a shepherd, you're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's all you can believe for if you don't have a shepherd feeding you the Word. You can't believe for favor. You can't believe for victory. You can believe for distressment. Because Jesus said, if you don't have a shepherd, this is what your life will look like. And people all the time say, I want to get above that level, but I want to do it my own way. No, you got to do it His way. You have to do it His way. Amen. And you just tote God along with you. Now He said, you got to diligently seek me. And Jesus was our example, how to get out of the noise. And if your life, I better turn around when I say this because I might get some looks. If your life is too busy to seek God and to come to church when the doors are open, that is your problem, not his. You have created that in your life. Yeah, but I got to pay my bills. Not my problem or his problem. He told you what to do. Your job is to structure and rearrange your life to do what he said. He's not going to just say, you know what? They go to church once every 4 weeks. They don't have a shepherd, but because they're so desperate and because they're so special, I'm just going to get their lives above dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I'm just going to do it for them. I'm going to violate my whole word. I'm going to change like I said I never would and just do it for them. No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. I don't have time to seek God, then you don't have time to live in healing. And you don't have time to live in prosperity, then you don't have time to live in the good life. You don't. You don't, because you'll never hear from heaven until you learn to seek him. Seek first the kingdom and then things are added to you. That's what it says. Seek, seek. Not casually tote God along and then when hell shows up at your front door, oh God, what do I do? That's how Christians live. No. Trying to pull you up higher. Say, Pastor, are you mad at us? You sound mad at us. No, I'm mad at the devil. Not mad at you. Trying to encourage you to do it a better way. Well, I don't have time to come to church. Yes, you do. You have time to do everything else in your life. It's the truth. Will you pray for me? Nope, won't do it. I'll believe with you and agree with you for distressment. Let's come in agreement. I'll believe that's what God, because we can't believe for anything God says we can't have. And he said, if you don't want to be faithful and come to church, you don't want to have a shepherd, that's what your life's going to look like. Live with it. Enjoy it. Doing it God's way. I don't want to seek God. I don't want to do it my way. I don't want to do it my way. Then you're not going to get the results that God says you can have. So we got to figure out, and I said the first thing we got to do is not treat God like a drive-thru. What am I trying to do? Getting you positioned to actually hear from heaven. The second thing I said you have to do is you have to get away from the noise. You got to get apart so you can shut this off and turn this down and turn this up. Now, the way that you're going to do that, are you ready now? You need to develop your spirit man. Why? God's not talking to you in your mind. God's not talking to you in your flesh. You have to develop your spirit man. You know how you're going to develop your spirit man? By doing spirit exercises. You know, they have all these things, I've heard them on TV, where they have things to strengthen your mind and your memory. Like things, and I'm not saying they're wrong, things that you can do, you know, certain things and little tests and things on the internet you can do that help you with your cognizance and all that stuff and to help your mind get stronger. They have things like that. And if you do those things, it helps your mind, helps your memory. How many of you know you can go to the gym? And you can pump iron and get on the treadmill and do things, and you can strengthen your flesh, can't you? What are those? Natural exercises. You can make your mind stronger by doing exercises. You can make your flesh stronger by doing exercises. But you can make your spirit man stronger by doing spirit exercises. Amen. This has to become developed. Why? God's not speaking to you in your flesh. He's not speaking to you in your mind. He's speaking to you here. If this isn't developed, and this stays the weak little spirit that's in you, that can't even, is crying out, help me. Help, feed me. And your flesh is raw. And your mind is raw. Chaos. It's like an interstate in your head. At rush hour in Los Angeles. Ever seen rush hour traffic in Los Angeles? Just cars everywhere. That's what your mind's like. And your flesh is just so loud. It's like things are going on everywhere. The noise is up. Isn't it kind of stressful at times when you're trying to talk to somebody and the music's too loud and you're trying to have a conversation? It's chaos. That's the way Christian lives are. And they wonder, why don't I know what God's saying? Because God, the still small voice, he's just in there saying, go this way. Don't do that. Change this. Go this direction. But outside is, rah, rah. Why don't I hear from him? Why don't I hear from him? Got to learn to develop this man. This man has to become big and strong and developed, praise God. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. First Timothy 4 and verse 7. What am I trying to do? Put you in a position to hear from heaven. You know what God has right now? The blueprint to your best life ever. You're his child. Let me ask you, parents, which one of you here doesn't want your kids to prosper? None of you. Which one of you here doesn't want your children to always walk in divine health? None of you. Which one of you here is okay with your child stumbling and being frustrated in life and being stuck and getting into hard places and not being able to get out and their life just being constant crisis after crisis? None of you are. God doesn't want that for any of you. Why? You're His children. And the whole time He's sitting on the throne with the blueprint to abundant life, prosperity, health, joy, victory, favor. He's got the blueprint. What am I trying to do? Get you to get that from Him. To hear from Him, praise God. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." What's He saying in that verse? Lack of a better way of saying it. Do some spiritual exercises. And then He goes on to say in verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Now He's talking in comparison. Now, for those of you health nuts out there, you think, no, exercise is great for your body, not compared to how much your spirit needs to be exercised. It is good for your body, and you should exercise, and we know the health benefits of it, and it's great for the body, and you live longer, and it's wise, and it does say that it profits little, but in comparison to what your spirit man can bring you profiting, I don't care how in shape, how great you look in front of a mirror, if your inward man is not developed, that's that good looking and shape and feeling good in your clothes and things, that's small compared to what this would bring you. Now, I'm not saying going to the gym won't bring you good things and doing exercise in your mind won't bring you good things. But in comparison to what this will bring you, it's small potatoes. He says, bodily exercise profits you a little bit, but godliness, spirituality, which you can't be godly and spirituality and strong spiritually without spiritual exercises, profits unto all things. Having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Acceptation, however you say that word. Acceptation. Yeah, it's worthy. What's He saying? Focus on your spirit, man. Focus on your spirit, man. Focus on your spirit, man. Put your spirit, man, first. Now, we're not going to get through the whole thing. I'm actually going to go to one point. But I'm going to give a little bit of a preview for next week right now before we get into this. One of the best ways and highest ways that you can develop your spirit, man, where you can hear from God and have clarity, is through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Now, I know what happens when I say that. I know people, oh, God, it's one of those church. Like I said on Wednesday, you're right, we're one of those churches. I don't care that you grew up in a place that didn't know it or didn't teach it or didn't talk about it. It does not change this book. I don't care that you're uncomfortable when I say that word. I don't care that it's foreign to you when I say that word. This is our authority. Now again, we don't ask you just to be a baby bird and be spoon-fed everything and just gobble it up. No, we teach on these things. But next week, I'm going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and what the Word says about it and what it'll do for your life. Amen. So I'm not coming to that one. Okay, then you're going to miss out in life. I'm just telling you. Oh, let me say this. Don't misunderstand my words here. Why am I getting up higher? Because then it means more. You see me. If you go through life and never get filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, your life will get to a certain level and will not go any farther. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and have a consistent lifestyle speaking in tongues. Again, this is what the Word says. You'll see it next week. Life goes through the ceiling. And the possibilities are endless. Why? Because Jesus said, and you'll see this next week, He said, I don't want any one of my children to go forth in life without speaking in tongues. I said, did He say that? Oh, He did. Jesus said it. He actually warned His disciples, don't you dare leave and go out into the world after He died and rose again until you get this gift. And a lot of people are at this level. I know there's more. I know there's more. I know there's more. I know there's more. The more is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Breaking through that most people know nothing about. So before you run out of here and say, well, that's the last time I'm coming to that church, why don't you just be humble enough to come back and say, if that's the Bible, that's God. God's not changing and I want God. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise God. One of the best spiritual exercises you can do that your pastor is doing all the time is speaking in tongues. What do you think I was doing in my office this morning? Speaking in tongues. What do you think I was doing on my way here? Speaking in tongues. Why? Given this first place. But why is pastor blessed? Why is pastor hear from God? Why is pastor? Because pastor hears from God. That's why. God makes me look good. Amen? Amen? God will make you look good. Make your life look good. Like, man, they know what they're doing. No, I don't know what I'm doing, but he does. Amen. I just got to hear from him and do what he says to do, and then it works. Amen. It's amazing. So we got to do spiritual exercise. So we'll close with just one spiritual exercise today. Go to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Now don't, oh, I heard that word tongues. No, what if God's trying to get you something and bring you to a life that you've never experienced, but because your flesh is saying, don't do that. Or your mind saying, no, that's weird. You'll be kept from it. At least wait to hear the word or not. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, spiritual exercises. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even, now notice this, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But notice what it says here, that the word is like a sword and it pierces and it divides the soul from the spirit. Well, the soul and the spirit are not the same. Remember we talked about earlier in this series that we're a three-part being. We are a spirit whose our spirit is housed in a body or flesh, and we have a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. And he says that the word can pierce and divide. What's divide mean? Make division. One on one side, one on the other. Soul from spirit. Well, that's what we need, isn't it? Is it my spirit talking or is it my mind talking? I don't know. They're mixed up. I can't tell. The word will divide, and you'll know what's my soul, and you'll know what's my spirit. So what's the first spiritual exercise that I'm going to talk to you about? If you want to be able to be led by God and hear from heaven, spend much time in the word. Amen. It's a spiritual exercise. You're giving your spirit first place when you do that. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Oh, I've heard you talk about this before, but when are you going to start doing it? It is the spirit that quickens or makes alive. See why you want to live out of your spirit, man? Your flesh won't make you alive and quicken your life. Your body won't do it. Your mind won't do it. But the spirit, if you'll live out of this, oh, this is the place where we rule and reign from. Our spirit, man. We give so little attention to our spirit, man. We give so much attention to our flesh and our mind. And then we wonder, where's this victory pastor's talking about? Where's this overcoming lifestyle pastor's talking about? Oh, it's available. He said, it is the spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Wow. The words that I speak, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, spiritual, and they are life. You know what that word life is? It's the Greek word for zoe. He said, the words that I speak to you are heaven words, abundant life words, heaven on earth type words, is what he's saying. The Bible says that the word will cause the spirit and soul to be... People need clarity. I need clarity. I need clarity. Spend much time in the word. It'll start to divide your soul and your spirit. Start to know what to do. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live. Now that word live there is not heartbeat live. It's zoe live. What's zoe live? The Greek word for live is the word zoe, which means abundant God kind of life. Remember Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. I've come to give you zoe. I've come to give you abundant zoe, abundant life, heaven on earth life, victory life, prosperity life, whatever God has for us. Whatever God's enjoying. One translation says, the life as God enjoys it. Amen. So he's not saying that man shall not live by bread alone, not heartbeat live. He said, it is written, man shall not live or have Zoe, abundant life. What? The prearranged life, the still waters life, the green pastures life, the I know the plans I have for you life. He says, man cannot live by bread alone that way. What's he saying? You can't achieve that life naturally. What's naturally? Just going to the gym, just doing mental exercises, always sowing into your flesh, always sowing into your mind. He said, that won't cause you to live abundant life. Why? Abundant life's not lived out of your flesh. It's not lived out of your mind. Abundant life is lived out of your spirit. He says, man shall not live that way. Which, what is living that way? The path that he has us on. He says, man can't live by bread alone, but they can achieve this life by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? This. What's he saying? Consume my word, which is spirit food. He said, my words are spirit. They are life. It translates into health in your flesh and health in your mind. But it starts by making your spirit strong, which does what? Makes a dividing line. Soul and spirit. Clarity comes to you. He says, if you'll do this, you can achieve abundant life. Why? Because when you're doing that, you're more sensitive. Your spirit man gets stronger. See, this is like a supernatural protein, smoothie, green, all the everything vitamin you need for your spirit man. Amen. And, supplements and things that cause you to grow and to be stronger, to be able to do things better, to be able to do things more successfully. That's what the word is for your spirit. So when you feed on your spirit, what happens is it's giving your flesh and your mind, it's putting them on the side. And it's giving your spirit man activity or exercise. So when you feed on the word, what's happening? This is getting stronger. It's developing. It's becoming bigger. It's becoming louder. So you can discern and hear from heaven. Go to Joshua 1 and verse 8. We'll close with this verse. Joshua 1 and verse 8. You know, we look at these all the time, but it doesn't matter if you... It's not. You came through the doors today, which was good. And you're sitting here hearing, which is good. But that ain't the whole battle. Coming through the door, sitting in here, and walking out of here and doing what we say, that's where the blessing comes. A lot of people heard what Jesus said and didn't get anything out of it. Isn't that amazing? You look at the parable of the sower over there in Matthew, Mark, three different places have it. I think everybody has it except for John. All the people heard the word, heard the word, heard the power of the word, heard the power of the word, and only 25% of the people that heard what Jesus was saying got anything out of it. They heard it. They showed up and they heard it, but they didn't walk out and do it. Oh, this is good preaching, Pastor Mike, good preaching. Well, then do the word. Do the word. It's good while we're in here, but then walk out and do the word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate there. And what's he saying? You ought to feed on this word. For 45 minutes to an hour on a Sunday morning. And then your way will be made prosperous. And then you'll have good success. No. I'll even take it a step further. Because some of you are thinking in your head, I come Wednesday too. But you shall meditate and hear the word Sunday morning for an hour, Wednesday night for an hour, and then you'll have prosperity and good success. No. What's prosperity and good success? That's the path. How does that get one achieve that? Meditating in the word, feeding the word, constantly being in the spiritual gym day and night. Now again, God knows you have a life and have a job. He's not saying you have to stop your life and sit down and read through the whole Bible. No. There's some times that I'll be on one verse for the whole week. That's all I'll get, but it's the word. And I'll chew on that verse all day long. And when I think about it, I'll meditate on it. I'll mutter it to myself. Talk to myself. That's what meditate means. To think on and to speak it. To mutter it. Meditating in the word day and night. What's that mean? Thinking on the word all the time and talking the word all the time. Like when I was going through a financial trial, I didn't need any other verse but Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs. So I'd go through my day. Didn't stop just to read my Bible. I'd be off driving my car. Can't stop reading my Bible then. And I'd be thinking, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all my needs. Thank you, Lord. I have a full supply. What am I doing? Meditating day and night. And what's that translated to? Prosperity and good success. Why? Your spirit man's getting bigger. God can start to talk to you and lead you onto those paths of prosperity and good success. We got to start doing spiritual exercises. If we want to walk and live out of this. This, let's leave this on the shelf and let's just show up a couple times during the month on a Sunday and maybe we'll occasionally go to a Wednesday and not touch this at all. Not going to get the job done. You want to know why? Let me tell you what a perfect day for my flesh would be. And I've lived a lot of these. Wake up and eat a big breakfast. Preferably French toast and crispy bacon. With the real maple syrup and lots of butter. Oh, that sounds good. About 7 a.m. And then a great next thing at 10 a.m., man, hit another snack. I mean, just get something else in me. And then, this is a perfect day for Pastor Mike. I mean, I think probably the snack would be, like, you ever seen those beef jerky things? They have the cheese in one sleeve and the beef jerky in the other, and you just chew those together. Oh, that's a good snack. I'd like about 5 of those at 10 a.m. And then at noon, I'd like to drive down to the Taco Bell down the road from my house and order a T9 with a crunchy taco. And yes, I'm going to say it, 3 additional hard shell tacos. T9 is the Crunchwrap Supreme, if you didn't know that. That's what it is. And then, you know, there's a time between 12 and 5 or 6. There's 2 or 3 o'clock, and you got to eat something again. I would just love to have a bowl of Lucky Charms and eat all the brown pieces first. That's what I do. I eat all the brown pieces first and save the marshmallows for the end. But now I saw on the news, they make a whole box just marshmallows. Woo! Heaven on earth. I'm telling you, Jesus meant it when he said it. In heaven, there'll be no brown pieces. Just the marshmallows. Yeah. I'm telling you, but I'm just trying to tell you a perfect day for me. Eat probably 2 bowls of that cereal just went, oh, it's so good, you know. The milk gets all yummy and sugary. And then dinner time comes. And I could fill in about 1 million different options. But the one that just sticks right out to my head right now would be a 10-piece chicken McNugget. Oh, man. You know, with barbecue and sweet and sour sauce, you dip one nugget in, take a bite of the barbecue, and then you dip it in the sweet and sour and finish it off with McDonald's French fries. I mean, that's a good day. And then, I'm not done yet. I'm just telling you my perfect day. Before bed, another bowl of cereal. Probably switching over to Cinnamon Toast Crunch this time because that's really good too. I love those cereals. I'm just telling you. And what's that? What's that a picture of? All day long, feeding, feeding, feeding my flesh. All day long, flesh is being well taken care of. Constantly going through mental exercises all day, thinking about this, thinking about that. What? Working the mind, and my little spirit. Feed me. Brother Hagin used to say we feed our spirits 3 hot meals a day with snacks in between. Or we feed our flesh 3 hot meals a day and snacks in between. And we feed our spirits 1 cold snack on a Sunday morning. And we wonder why we're not ruling and reigning. Amen. That's the truth. Say, Pastor, we need to cast that spirit of gluttony out of you. I know. I know. And I'll close with this. You want to hear a funny story? Talk about the spirit of gluttony. True story. Brother Kevin Durant told this story. There was one time, there was a person that was struggling to lose weight. And, you know, they were just struggling, having trouble with it. And so the preacher came up and recognized it was a spirit of gluttony. So I'm not making light of that or making fun of that. That's a perfect day, but I don't live like that every day, just so you know. And but some people struggle, you know, and sometimes there's spirits behind these things. And so the minister, a person came up, it was a lady, she came up, and he said, in the name of Jesus, spirit of gluttony, you come out of her now in the name of Jesus. You know, casting out devils, that's how you do it. Well, you see in the Word at times and different things where the spirit will talk back. And it won't sound like the person's voice. It's the spirit actually voicing. And we see that in the life of Jesus, that the spirit would actually speak through the person. It'd come through the body, but it wouldn't be their voice. And this is a true story. He said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of gluttony, you come out of her. And a deep growling voice said, I will for a cookie. True story. That spirit, just, I'll come out, but you got to give me a cookie first. Amen. So I don't know if I keep going on the way I'm going with what I said I was going to eat. Maybe that's going to have to be me. But now, no spirit of gluttony here. But anyways, you got the point. By showing you that, it got the point. We're feeding, feeding, feeding. And this is going unfed. It's time to feed, feed, feed this. Amen. And get big and big, big and start living what God has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're so grateful. So thankful. Father, to be in a place that where Your Word is being taught, where we can get help, where we can come and learn practical things for our life to walk forward in and to walk into blessing. Thank You for helping us today. Lord, I pray that people would be doers of this, Father, and that my fruit from this message would remain. And Father, that they would be doers of this Word, and they would watch and see the changes. If they'll make adjustments, oh, they'll start seeing their life having adjustments made to it. Blessings and different things. And, oh, Lord, abundant life, heaven on earth, experiencing that. That's Your will for us. So thank You, Father, for giving us direction, clear instruction on how to do it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. And if you're listening on live stream or in the future on the archive, listen up carefully. I'd like everybody to, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, to ask themselves this question. Ask yourself this question in your head. Don't say it out loud, but in your head. If today were my last day on planet Earth, ask yourself that. Would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I 100% know in my mind, in my flesh, and most importantly, in my spirit, that I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. I know that I am. I'm not afraid of death. I know what awaits me. Better awaits me. Amen. Bible says to die is gain. Why? Because you go to be with Him when you're a Christian. So if you're here this morning, ask yourself that question. If your answer is, I don't know, or I'd like to think that I would, or I'm not sure that I go to heaven, I want to help you be sure of that. Because the world and religion will tell you a whole lot of things, but the Bible tells you specifically how to get there. The Bible is the roadmap to heaven. And the Bible says the way we get to heaven is two things. Confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. If you believe in Jesus here this morning, He said, if you believe in Me, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter that you have or haven't gone to church a lot. Church attendance will not get you into heaven. It doesn't matter that you've been moral or immoral. It doesn't matter. Your morality doesn't get you into heaven, and your lack of morality will not keep you out of heaven. Well, I've been very generous. I don't care if you've been generous or if you've been stingy. Your generosity or your lack of does not get you in or keep you out of heaven. Jesus is the dividing. He's the measuring. He's the litmus test to get into heaven. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. If you're here today, you can say, Pastor, I've never officially received Jesus as my Savior, but I believe in Him. You got to do it the Bible's way. The devil believes in Jesus, but he ain't going to heaven. Why? He'll never confess Him as Lord and Savior. Jesus said you must confess and believe. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus for the very first time and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, would you lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that's never done that in here before? Now, if you've already done this and you've had a bad week, a bad month, a bad decade, just repent. He didn't take your salvation away from you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If anybody wants to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just lift your hand high in the air that's never done that? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that we're all walking with You. But Father, if by chance there's somebody under the sound of my voice that's never made You the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they've made Jesus their Savior. And for those people that I can't see listening online or listening in the future on the archives, if you've never received Jesus, it's simple. And for those of you that maybe are here that you didn't raise your hand, it's simple. It's not the raising of the hand that gets you born again. It's the believing and receiving. All you have to do to seal your eternity in heaven and to be accepted by Jesus, He made it so simple, is all you need to do is confess and believe in Him. And it sounds something like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died and I believe You rose again. And I ask that You would come into my heart. The Bible says He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. Why is He knocking? Because He wants to come in. But He's not the SWAT team and He doesn't barge the door down. He waits for you to invite Him in. So declare your belief in Him. I believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. And I make You my Lord and my Savior. If you'll do that, the Bible says when you call on His name, you'll be saved. Heaven is now yours. And now the next step for you to live this abundant life is to find a Bible-teaching church and to plant in that church. But Pastor, I thought you said it's not about church attendance. It's not when it comes to heaven. But if you think you're going to walk into all that God has for you in abundant life and not do it the way He says, that's a mistake and a lie of the devil. You need to plant in a church and be faithful and hear the Word and do the Word. We can help you. That doesn't have to be here. But we can help you find a good Bible-teaching church. Send us an email. Give us a phone call. let us know and we'll get you helped and set up. Can we all just stand to our feet this morning and let's begin to worship Him. I dare you to just worship Him in faith about the plan that He has for your life. Even if life looks like hell on earth, I dare you to be a faith person and worship Him for what's ahead, for the changes that are coming. Father, we thank You. If we need direction, You'll give it to us. If we need to make a change, we'll change. If we need to go a different way, we'll go a different way, Father. Whatever You want, Father, You hold the blueprints for the best life that we could ever have and experience. We thank You for it. And Lord, we know You're not playing hide and seek. You're always playing show and tell. If we would ask, You said we'd receive. If we would knock, it would be open, Father. You said if we would seek, we would find. You're not playing hide and seek. You're playing show and tell. Call unto You and You'll answer us and show us great and mighty things. So Father, You're endeavoring for us to walk into this life. So we praise You. And we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done, for all that You've given. Now, Father, we just thank You for the hands that prepared the food that's in the sanctuary. I believe it's Taco Sunday today, I think. Is that right, Nettie? Father, we just thank You. We ask You to bless the people that were part of that help and cleanup. And, Lord, we just call that food blessed to our body. In Jesus' name, we love You, Lord. Amen. Don't forget, Wednesday, 6:30, you're dismissed.
What does it mean to be saved?